singing because that would be a curse. Thank you. And the analogy, what a great analogy. And I'm sitting there thinking, Chris, how can I use that? And I'm thinking, well, we've had dogs all my life. I love dogs. But I've not had many that I've had on a leash or tethered. Then it hit me. When my children were little, we tethered them. Anybody remember doing that? Raise your hand. You're going, what are you talking about? Oh, man, yeah. I mean, that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. We would go somewhere like Six Flags or somewhere like that, and they had these little tethers you'd put around their wrists, and then you would hold the other end, and that thing would go out until it got to the end, and they didn't run anymore. In fact, some days at Six Flags, my wife said she was going to use it on me. What a great analogy to stay tethered to the Lord Jesus. You cannot go wrong when you're tethered to Him. Amen? The world tries to lure us into being tethered to it and the things of the world. But those things, even the best of those things, will one day pass away. But our relationship with Him is eternal. Thank you so much, Pastor Steve, for having me again. It's great being back. You folks, through the years, I've gotten to know you, and I love and appreciate you so much. And then to have the honor of preaching with the men that you're having this week, Pastor Chris on Sunday morning, and then Pastor Derek tomorrow night, and Pastor Buck Birch last night. I get to just kind of slip in here and preach tonight. But it's an honor to fill the pulpit with these men. But I'll tell you, if Buck were here, he would say this. I know Chris would say this, and Derek, he would say this. What's really a blessing is preaching where this man of God stands every Sunday. You know, we come and go. In fact, Derek, I'm sure you've had this throughout the years, Chris. I would have different evangelists in my church, and I love them. But I always pray, dear Lord, don't let them say anything that I'm going to have to pay for when they're gone. Don't let them mess this thing up, because they don't have to live with it. You know, they're out of here. I got to live with it. So what we say this week, you got to live with, all right? But I believe and I know these men do this, every person who fills this pulpit should leave here with the people loving the Lord Jesus more and loving you more as their pastor. So very important. So thank you. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles tonight, the book of Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. It's the story of Abraham before he became Abraham. He's Abram. The Lord has not yet changed his name to the father of many nations. And so you find him in chapter 15 in a difficult situation. Now, I want to take you all the way back to chapter 12. We're not going to read those chapters. But, you know, starting in chapter 15 is like jumping into the middle of a book or the middle of a story. And I know some of you read, like I've read some books, I start at the end and find out how it's going to turn out. Then I decide if I'm going to read it or not. We need to understand the backstory to this story to understand this situation. Genesis chapter 12, God appeared to Abram and he said, listen, I'm going to relocate you. You're not going to live where you're living any longer. I'm going to move you, and I'm going to take you to a place that I will establish, and in that place, I'm going to make you the father of many of a nation, and it's going to be a blessing to the world until Jesus comes back, is the way we would say it, but all through history. And we know that nation to be Israel. But he says this to one man. He says, I want you to follow me, obey me, listen to me, and from you I will create this nation. And that's an incredible thing. So Abraham begins to follow God, and he moves him along. But then we come to chapter 15, and we've got a pretty desperate situation on our hands. Look at it. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord, look at what he's saying there. He said, Lord, what will you give me, knowing that I have no children, and one of my own household, he says, Eleazar is going to have to be my heir. And if you read on in this passage, it says, "And behold, the Lord said unto him, saying, this one shall not be your heir." So what Abram is saying is this: God, you promised that there will be a nation that will be created out of my family. I'm just kind of ad-libbing here, but it's almost like he said, God, have you not noticed something? I don't have any children. Now, it's been many years since Genesis chapter 12. He says, I have no children. He says, so the only hope I can see that I have here is that Eleazar, who lives in my house, become my heir. But it says, if you read on, it says, "And behold, the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who shall come from your own body." And then he brings him outside. He takes him outside. He said, "Look towards the heaven and count the stars. If you are able, number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And then verse 6, one of the most important verses in the Old Testament, a verse that I have heard it described this way, the gospel in the Old Testament. It says, "And he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness." And he believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. Well, what you're seeing in Genesis 15 is tension. Abraham is experiencing the tension between what God has promised and present reality. Think about that for a moment. What God has promised and present reality. God had promised to make from Abram a great nation, but the problem is, as we read, many years have passed and he still has no children. Now, if we'll be honest tonight, we know exactly what that feels like. You say, what do you mean? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you ever read God's promises in his word, but yet you're still waiting for the fulfillment of those promises? You're living in the in-between? That's what I want to talk about tonight. Living in the in-between and how God works even there. Because we all live there at times. For instance, you prayed, but the answer hasn't come yet. You've been praying for God to do something, but you've not gotten the answer. You trust God, but your situation has not changed. It remains the same. The Bible says God promises peace, but you're in the middle of a storm that's raging. You're in the in-between moment. You're standing in the in-between from what God has promised and what you're experiencing. And you know what? There are those who think that struggling, questioning, and being fearful isn't allowed by God. Can I tell you something tonight? God knows your struggle. God understands your fears. And even in that in-between moment, when you're asking those questions, God hasn't abandoned you. I've heard people say, you all never ask God questions. Well, let me tell you something. If questioning God is not allowed, we've got a problem with a lot of people in the Scripture. David asked God questions. God, why are you allowing this to happen? The prophets asked God questions. How long are you going to let this go on? Right here. Abram's asking, God, what are you going to do about this? You see, in those in-between moments, that's where God reveals himself, and that's where he deepens our faith. It's in those in-between moments. I want us to look at four realities tonight about the in-between moments that I think can help you. Maybe that's where you are right now. Number one is imperfection. The first reality of the in-between, that time of in-between moments in your life, is imperfection. I mean, you look at it, and it's, the very first verse, what does it say? "And God said to Abram, don't be fearful. I'm your shield, and I am your defender." Now, what he's saying here is this. He's saying, I know you're afraid, Abram. I know your heart. You see, before God ever reminds Abram of his promise, he addresses his fears, and he says, fear not. He says, fear not. God deals with the heart long before he deals with the situation. He deals with our hearts. And that's what he's doing in Abram's life. Abram is called the father of faith, yet he wrestled with fear. You see, here's the issue we have. And we have this in the church. I mean, I've dealt with it. I think we all do. We'll say, I know what the Bible says, but that's Abraham. Or that's David. Let me tell you something, folks. Those men and the women of the Scripture were just as human as we are. They're just as human as us. They became fearful just like you. They had questions like you and I have questions. They got down like we get down. They got depressed. Look at Elijah. Here's Elijah who'd called down fire from heaven. And not only had it burned the sacrifice, it licked up all the water in the trough. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know some preachers have been strutting if that had happened in their presence. But where do you find Elijah? Just a few hours later, he's wishing to die. From the mountaintop to the valley. You see, we all experienced that. Not only was he fearful, he failed. Abraham actually failed more than one time. Go back and read in chapter 12. He's entering into Egypt. And he knows the Egyptians and he knows how barbaric and how brutal they are. You know what he says? He says, now Sarah, here's the situation. You're a beautiful woman, and if they find out you're my wife, they're going to kill me and they're going to keep you. So here's what you tell them. You're my sister. And they may let me live. He lied. He failed. You know what this is a reminder to me? Get this before we move on. God isn't looking for perfect people. Aren't you glad God's not looking for perfect people? Because if he were looking for perfect people, we'd all be in trouble. There's none perfect but one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not anywhere near that. So in those in-between moments, we have to understand God can work even in our imperfections. And that's what he did in Abram's life. Because the next thing you see here, and this is very important, is a very patient God. A very patient God. How many times in my life, especially sitting in traffic, I've thought, man, I'm glad God's God and I'm not. Because I'd just zap these people right out of my way. If I were, amen, not by myself. We become so patient, but God is so patient. He doesn't condemn Abraham for his anxiety. He speaks peace to his troubled heart. Look at what he says. He said, Abraham, I'm your shield. And I'm your provider. I'm your protector. What he reminds Abraham is this. Even in those in-between moments, I'm with you. I'm walking with you through every experience in life. I'm walking with you through every moment. Listen, when you are praying and it feels like your prayers are not getting above, as my pastor used to say when I was growing up, above the ceiling of your house or the ceiling of the church, you got to understand this. God's below the ceiling. When you can't see God, he's there. When you can't feel God, he's there. When you have questions, he's there. When you have doubts, he's there. When you're hurting, he's there. When you're lonely, he's there. God loves us and is very patient with us. He was patient with Abram. He said, I'm near you. You see, God sees the fears we don't tell anybody else about. Those sleepless nights, those questions that keep you awake, God already knows them. He knows what they are. And he promises that he's a shield and he's very near us. Let me give you another verse. Psalm 34:18. What does it say? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God's close to the brokenhearted. Maybe there's one person who really needs this tonight because you're experiencing that in your life. Or maybe you have someone in your family or friend who's experiencing that. Just know this. God is there. Now let me give you a principle before we move on. When God himself is our shield, we have more than enough for every battle. When he's our shield, we have more than enough for every battle. Also, when you read the scripture, you understand this. God who makes the promise is God who will keep the promise. God who makes the promise is God who will keep the promise. We live in a world of broken promises. Maybe we've broken promises to someone, or you're on the receiving end, and someone's broken a promise to you, and it's painful and it hurts. But I will tell you this, God will never break a promise. You can take it to the bank. If God said it, it's true. I grew up hearing this. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Can I tell you something? God said it, and that settles it whether I believe it or not. If God said it, that settles it. It's been settled. That's God. But then the third thing you see is not only imperfection and patience, you also see promise. Now, I want you to go back to the scripture. Abraham did something that we all do at some point or other. He decides, you know, I got to help God out. Now, we won't admit we do that, but we try to help God out. Amen? We try to, how can I work this out? How many times as a pastor, I knew that God wanted to do something, and I'm thinking, you know, I got to figure out a way to help him out right here. Abram said, I'll help God out. He said, hey, God, you know, I have no children, so Eliezer, who lives in my house, it looks like he's going to have to be the heir to the kingdom. So, hey, that's how we're going to work this thing out. And God says to him, no, Abram, I'm faithful to my promise. It will not be Eliezer. It's going to be exactly the way I told you. It's going to be someone who comes from your body. And he says, I'm going to put it in perspective for you. You think this is too big for me? You think this problem is so great I can't handle it? Do you think, Abraham, I'm wringing my hands in despair? I'm not. Let me show you how powerful I am, he says. He says, come outside your tent. Look up. Count the stars, if you're able. Now, it's a little different for us. We live in an area outside Atlanta the way we are that there's a lot of haze. And we can see a few stars on a clear night. But we were talking tonight, some of us, about Montana. I had an opportunity several years ago to go to Montana, to be in Montana, to visit some friends. And we went through Yellowstone, and it got dark. And he pulls the car over, and he says, I turned out all the lights. And I thought, this is kind of spooky. He says, sit here a minute, and then get out. And look up. I've never seen so many stars in my life. I mean, more stars than I had ever seen living here in Georgia. Just millions and millions of stars. Our Milky Way. Think about where we live. Our Milky Way. If you could travel at the speed of light, in a little over a second, you could reach the moon. You could reach Venus in about 2 minutes. But it would take you from one end of our galaxy to the other 100,000 years. And we're just one small part of the universe. Can I ask you tonight? The God who created this universe, can he handle your situation? Some of you, before you gave your life to Christ, or maybe tonight you're here and you never trusted Christ. God can't save me. God can't save me. He can't forgive my sin. My past, you say, is so bad there's no way God can forgive me. Let me ask you something. The God who created this universe, can he forgive your sin? He sure can, but it costs something. It cost his son. It cost Jesus. Given his life on the cross, that our sin could be forgiven. Well, what he's trying to teach us here is this. He's trying to remind us that God's promises are not limited to human possibility. What does the scripture say? With man it's impossible, but with God nothing's impossible. All things are possible with God. You know, in this area it's where there's going to be a crusade. A festival. Have you heard anything about it, Chris? I was just checking to make sure you'd heard about it. And you know, and we live in a different time. And people are busy. And people will say, that can't work. That won't work in our day. Let me tell you this. I just believe God's big enough. God put that on some people's heart to do this. And I will promise you this. The God who created the universe will come through in that festival. Amen. And this area can see a lot of people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've got a friend that you've wanted to see trust Christ. And you know, it may be your simple invitation to that person to come one night. And it may be to hear a musician. It may be to just be part of the atmosphere that's there. And you know what? They can leave a changed person. Years ago when we did a crusade in our church, I can remember, I could count on both hands several people who all of us thought, man, this is going to be a tough one. Don't know if, you know, God's going to really have to do a work to soften their hearts. And I remember one in particular, his name was John. John first said, I'm not coming to that crusade. I mean, he just pretty well said, I ain't coming, okay? But then his daughter begged him. And so he came. Now, here's what he did. This is the honest truth. He stood outside the fence of the football stadium. And I think what he thought was, God's in there, but if I'm out here, he can't get to me. He can't get to me out here. Every night he leaned up on that fence. Last night of the crusade, I looked and that gate flew open and John almost literally ran across that football field. And he's standing at the stage and the evangelist did something, Steve, that he hadn't done all week. He took the microphone because here's he's in tears, his daughter's in tears, and he just sticks the microphone down and he says, sir, isn't it a joy tonight to stand here with your daughter and see her trust Jesus as her Savior? He said, oh no, sir. It's not her trusting Jesus, it's me trusting Jesus. And it's because of her witness. You see, God's a God of promise. And he fulfills that promise. He keeps that promise. He keeps his word. If he makes the promise, he'll keep the promise. Amen? And I'm telling you, not only in that crusade, but in your life, maybe there's something tonight you're struggling with. Maybe it's an addiction in your life, and you say, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I just can't break it. Listen, you've got to trust Jesus to do that. Got a friend right now who suffered severe addiction, was lost, and now he's a Christian counselor. Another friend who was an atheist, going to Georgia Tech. Makes it. No, I'm just teasing. Just teasing. You can tell the bulldog in me came out just a little bit there. He was going to Georgia Tech. And he just didn't believe. But somebody handed him the book by Josh McDowell, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. He read that book. And he gave his life to Christ. And he became a state evangelism director. And then he pastored for many years in the state of Florida. He said, I never would have thought it could have been me. But he said, I realize this, with God, nothing's impossible. Amen. Amen? Amen? That's the promise. But then you see the final thing here, and we're done. But this is so important. You see faith, saving faith. As I said, verse 6 is the gospel in the Old Testament. It's repeated in the New Testament. Paul uses it on several occasions. In fact, it references back in Galatians to this. Paul uses it and it references back to the Galatians. He said, just like the gospel was announced in advance to Abraham that all nations should be blessed through him. And it was counted to him as righteousness. Not because he was religious. Not because he attended somebody's church. Not because he did more good than he did bad. It was counted to him for righteousness because he simply trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Even he was looking forward to hundreds of years to when God would send the Messiah We look back to the Messiah that's already come. And by the way, is one day coming again, because that's one of the promises God has made. And you can take it to the bank. But when you read this in verse 6, you understand this. The God who could put the stars in the sky. The God who could take a man like Abram and build a nation out of him many years after he gave the promise is the same God who will forgive your sin. He's the same God who will save you. But as a Christian, he is the same God, now listen, who will give you strength to continue trusting in the in-between moments. Whatever that in-between moment is in your life, between the time when God makes the promise and the time God fulfills it, and we go through that period of doubting and questioning and all that we go through, understand this. God is the God of promise. And He will carry you. And He believed Him. And it was counted to Him as righteousness. What is your in-between moment tonight? Maybe that's where you are. Maybe there's somebody in your life that, man, you've wanted to see trust Christ and you've almost given up on them. Don't give up. Don't let that in-between moment be the last moment. Pray for them. Invite them to come hear your pastor on Sunday morning. Invite them to be part of the festival in September. Share what God's done in your life. Maybe as a Christian, you're in that in-between moment. There's something going on in your life. Maybe it's physical, financial, relational, and you're just in that in-between moment. I promise you this. God will be your shield, and He'll be your protector. Amen, church?
Amen.
Let's bow together in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Right now, maybe you're here and you say, Larry, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Tonight you can. Would you? Would you trust Him? Would you commit your life to Him? You're not here by accident tonight. God brought you here. Now, you may have just stumbled in, or you may have just been invited, or you may just thought, you know, I'm going to check that church out. But really, behind the scenes, what's happening is God's working in your life, because He loves you. And He cares for you. And so tonight, you can trust Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, if you will believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. So right where you are tonight, you can pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I trust You as my Savior. I ask You to forgive my sin, and tonight I invite You into my life. Would you do that? And in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to have an invitation song, a final song. And I'm asking you tonight, if you've trusted Him, to be bold. And just come and say, Pastor Steve, tonight, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a follower of Christ. You're a Christian. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But you're in an in-between moment. And it may be something you want to just come and kneel at this altar area and pray about. Or maybe you've got somebody in your life that you want to pray for. Maybe tonight you want to come and commit somebody to Christ that needs to be saved. Right here at this altar and say, Lord, I'm trusting You to save them. Would you do that? I'm going to pray. We're going to stand. I'm going to get out of the way. The invitation is going to be your pastor's. But you obey tonight what God's telling you to do. Father, thank You tonight for this time. And I pray, Lord, that You will just take this moment and You will use it, this holy moment, to Your glory and to Your praise. I pray it tonight in Jesus' name. Would you stand and would you come right now?